Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has called for joint Sunni-Shia prayers after a spate of attacks on places of worship across the country. Maliki says the attackers want to ignite a sectarian strife in Iraq. He called for the holding of prayers in one of the largest mosques in Baghdad each Friday. He added that those who target mosques are enemies of both Sunnis and Shias. Bomb blasts targeting mosques across Iraq killed dozens of people on Friday alone. According to a UN statement, a total of 712 people were killed across Iraq in April. This brings the country's death toll from violence to its highest level since June 2008. According to the Iraqi government, terrorists in Iraq are supported by some neighboring countries in a bid to create havoc. From Manchester, joining us is the director of Center for Muslim Affairs, Jahangir Muhammad. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Mr. Muhammad. Now, looking at the situation in Iraq at the moment, with April having a total of 712 deaths, it is extremely interesting to know that this is a legacy that is being left behind by this U.S.-led war on the country. Who do you think benefits from the recent violence, though?
Well, obviously, the beneficiaries of the sectarianism in Iraq are the occupying powers. That's what they planned. I wrote about this many years ago. They actually have a map long before they invaded Iraq, in which Iraq is divided into a Sunni state, a Shia state, and a Kurd state. I call this the Balkanization of the Muslim world. This is their plan for all countries in the Muslim world. That's exactly what they've done. When they entered Iraq, they lit the fires of sectarianism.
And when you light the fires of sectarianism, killing a few people, blowing up a few mosques here and then, it takes on a life of its own. It breeds hatred. And, you know, when you reinforce and create political structures which empower one group and disempower others, that sectarianism is inevitable. So when they leave next year or the year after, they will leave behind a political structure and a society which is sectarianism, and that's exactly what they wanted. They've done that, and really it's for Muslims. As you say rightly, this sectarianism benefits nobody but the enemies of Islam and Muslims. They are not friends of Shia or Sunni. We see during the tyrant Saddam Hussein's reign that when the Shias rose up, they supported Saddam Hussein, and they supported Saddam against Shia Iraq. And just before they invaded Iraq, we find that all of a sudden they start talking about the oppression of the Shias, and now they are talking about the oppression of the Sunnis. This is a game for them. They don't care for Sunni life, they don't care for Shia life, they don't care for Muslim life.
And it's right, really, and let me just interrupt you there, Mr. Muhammad. We're running out of time. There have been a lot of speculations at who is behind this. Some have blamed Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Others have pointed the finger at neighboring countries, quote-unquote, for this sectarian violence. Also, some have pointed the finger at Tariq al-Hashimi, who's right now is hiding away in Turkey. Now, but looking at the call that has been made by Nouri al-Maliki to start joint congregation prayers every Friday, how far do you think that is going to go in uniting the country against these attacks?
Well, I think, you know, all steps that bring different communities together are needed. You know, it's for the, ultimately, I think it's for all leaders in Iraq and religious leaders to try and bring people together. But also there has to be a political structure and authority which recognizes the rights and distributes the resources of that country to all people. Otherwise, the sectarianism will continue, and there will always be those, you know, whether they are from outside or inside, who want to further sectarianism and its cause. And unless you know, there is great wisdom and leadership, and neighboring countries like the leadership in Iran can help that process, and other Sunni leaders outside maybe of Iraq, then unless they exercise that wisdom and leadership and, you know, try to bring an end to the hatred that has been created by the occupying powers, and also deal with the genuine problems of equitable distribution of political power and resources.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. That was the director of Center for Muslim Affairs, Jahangir Mohammed, there, joining us via Skype from Manchester. Mr. Mohammed, thank you very much for your comments here on Press TV.